Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk About It. I'm Jeff Arnold, a five-time best-selling author, publisher of the Arizona 100, and now podcast host for Let's Talk About It, conversations with industry shapers where your story takes center stage. Hey, listen, in the heart of every industry leader lies an innovator and a visionary that has a story just waiting to be told. And at Let's Talk About It, we're going to have conversations with all kinds of leaders and visionaries. Can't wait to have you as one of our podcast guests, too. If you listen to the end, we'll tell you how you can be a guest on a future show. Thanks for joining us. Hello, welcome to another episode of Let's Talk About It, conversations with industry shapers. Today, listen, I'm super excited. We have Rick Delarada. Peace through music and philanthropy. I think he's going to play some for us, which will be fantastic. I wish our listeners could have been part of the energy before we hit record, because I believe we're kindred souls and could talk forever. But without further ado, Mr. Rick Delarada, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Excited to be here.
I am super happy. Tell us what part of the country you're in and what's driving you as a passion these days.
Right now, where I've been for quite a while is lived in the Upper West Side, which is near, actually on Central Park West. I've lived on Central Park West, and I've lived in the Lower East Side, where I was on the day of 9/11, where I watched those events and wrote a poem called Jazz for Peace, which took me off, which brought the philanthropy into my music and brought all of those other elements into my musical journey and my trajectory. But right now, I'm smack in the middle of it, literally. You would technically you might say Hell's Kitchen, but honestly, when I look off my balcony, I'm looking right down on 42nd Street Times Square.
Oh, that's fantastic. I am jealous, absolutely jealous. The Peace Through Music, that was after 9/11, that was just a wake-up call and said, no, this I have to do?
It was literally on 9/11. What happens, to be honest with you, leading up to 9/11, I was traveling a lot. I had my own records that were starting to come out, and I've toured with bands. I toured with well-known bands as a sideman, and then my own records were coming out, and I was traveling with those. And I had traveled enough to so many cultures that there wasn't any confusion in my mind that music was something that broke through any kind of a barrier, race, creed, color, religion, you name it. Music broke through it. I could reach a person on an event in Croatia as well as I could on a little jazz, underground jazz festival in the subway. So I knew all of these things, and I was questioning why music wasn't playing a bigger role when I saw so many issues with the geopolitical and just things going on in the world. And then when 9/11 occurred, I happened to be, like I said, down there less than a quarter of a mile away in a fifth floor walk up. I was tipped off by a photographer who had taken pictures of me the day before. She was on Wall Street, calls me from Wall Street, issue with her, to tell me about an issue with her boss and her boss's son who was in the other building. And I'm like, listen, let me just go up and see what's going on, because I was on a fifth floor walk up. The roof was just right above me. I was up, go up there all the time. And that was like walking into a movie, just walk into the screen of a movie. I had nothing to show for that day except a bunch of words that on a piece of paper that just came out of me. And I just wrote them down because they just came out of me, whether I liked it or not. It's like my water broke. I gave birth to these words. What am I going to call this? What am I going to do with this day? And I just called the poem Jazz for Peace. And I've basically just been living up to the words of the poem.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. It's actually inspirational. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this because that was super, super impactful. So question for you, in leading up to the show here, you were okay with playing a piece or two. Are you okay with that? Is this too much on the spot or?
Yeah. Now I'm curious, did you ever hear of a movie, a documentary, an indie documentary called Searching for Sugar Man?
I have not.
Okay. So,
but you've piqued my curiosity.
Okay, because, you know, since I was talking, I was going to do a song about spring, which is called You Must Believe in Spring. But I was thinking maybe since I was talking to you about that, there's this Sugar Man thing. This is a wild story because now, right in the news now every day, as you can't even turn YouTube on, with these crazy stories about the music industry and these rappers and all the craziness that's going on. Right? We've known about that. The music industry's been a disaster way before anyone knew who Harvey Weinstein was. The music industry was even worse. And we knew about that. And we've had something that brings cultural events to people, not only in a pure, in a perfectly genuine way, but also in a way that uses the cultural event to help the community. They're always fun. They raise funds, mm-hmm. they raise publicity and awareness for outstanding causes. So we've been the opposite of all of that that we've known about. Now it's in the news. This is a story about a guy who was supposed to be the version of Bob Dylan, the Spanish version of Bob Dylan. That's what he was supposed to be. Back around the 60s or whatever. And again, through a corrupt situation where the music label would hire the competition, there'd be like six or seven of a type person competing. If they'd sign all six of them, bury five of them alive, basically by recording them and not distributing, not doing it. And then everyone would only have one choice to buy the one person's record. And they would sell records. It was profitable for them. Disastrous for some people.
Individual.
His records, they just took him to fulfill his contract. Oh, yeah, we got you. We distributed. They distributed his records in South Africa, where you couldn't even call. There was no internet. You couldn't even, a long distance call down there would be. So those people, so he ended up out of music. It's a great, see the movie after. Anyway, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but.
It's fantastic.
It's called Searching for Sugar Man. This is just the title song of it. And then I'll do a little improvisation, go into that poem for you, and then hopefully keep it within a reasonable.
Oh, I'm gonna give you the stage.
Okay. Sugar man, won't you hurry, 'cause I'm tired of all these scenes. For a blue coin, won't you bring back all those colors to my dreams? Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, I met a false friend on a lonely, dusty road. I lost my heart when I found it. It had turned to jet. Silver magic ships you carry, jumpers, coke, sweet Mary Jane. Sugar man, you're the answer that makes my questions disappear. Sugar man, thank you. coming through the trees. And in my heart it fills me like a celebration. I see the light. Inspired by the past contributions of those that came before, laid the groundwork for us to build on in this universal language. It is a gift for all mankind. When we speak it, people are enlightened by the creativity and artistry that stands for peace and love and humanity, an intelligence that leads to reaching potential that we have in our soul. So we can raise our total conscience and see that the gift of giving is our greatest privilege. I hear jazz for peace.
Love it. Love it. Almost a metaphysical genre about it, right? Yeah, that was awesome.
I really just made up everything underneath the poem. So it's always different. So when I recite the poem, and it depends on where I'm at in the improvisation, and just, it's always different. If you ever hear this on another podcast, it'll be completely different.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. Wonderful. Hey, we've got time. If you got a moment for another piece, love to hear it.
Okay. No problem. Let's see what we got here. When lonely feelings chill the metals of your mind, just think, if winter comes, can spring be far behind? Beneath the deepest snows, the secret of a rose is merely that it knows you must believe in spring. Just as a tree that sure its leaves will reappear, it knows its emptiness is just the time of year. The frozen mountain dreams of April's melting streams, how crystal clear it seems, you must believe in spring. Believe in love and trust, it's on its way. Just as a sleeping rose awaits the kiss of May, so in a world of snow,
I'm applauding in my mind. That was fantastic. I don't want to break the mics here, but that was fantastic, man. That was wonderful. And you know what? It's only 8:30 in the morning here in Arizona. It's a wonderful way to start my day and kick off my weekend. So thank you so very much for that, Rick.
My pleasure. My pleasure, Jeff.
Let's talk about what you're doing now. And then if you'll share with our listeners after what you're doing now, we like to reach into everyone's psyche or internal DNA or personal nucleus and say, what's your hard-won wisdom? What's the lesson that some trial and tribulation you encountered that still impacts you this day? It was a lesson you needed to learn, maybe didn't want to, but what's your hard-won wisdom lesson? And the microphone is yours.
Okay, thanks. Starting with the hard-won wisdom lesson, this is just something that I find it surprises the listener as much as me as it did me when I tell it. And it's a story of, I first told this story when I was doing something with a podcaster in Los Angeles. And I was telling him, I've been to Los Angeles a bunch of times. What was one of your most memorable ones? And I happened to one time be asked to go out there to help a woman whose son had been bullied in school. And it was a very traumatic situation for her son. And it was just traumatizing for her, for the family and this, that, and the other. And so she had tried to get help. She could not find assistance for this kind of thing in school. So she started a program. And so here she was, she's starting at grassroots. Maybe she's got her bare minimum 2 board members that you need to have the, or call it an organization. She's just, so I'm trying to help her because I understand the situation. It's related to her son and just in general, bullying in schools. You don't know when you go to school, you're a kid. I was a dumb kid. I probably, who the heck, I might have been bullied or bullied someone without knowing it. The kids don't know. Someone's got to be there to make sure kids don't get permanently traumatized by something that the kids don't even know what they're doing, they're causing the kids. So anyway, I do everything I can for her. We grow an empowerment tree, what we call an empowerment tree, because we find that just giving someone money, A, enslaves them. So now they're dependent on you. They could lose their services now if you don't come through every single year, which you might not have had the ability to do even when you started out. Not only that, but they're not more publicized, which they need. They don't have sponsors, which they need. They don't have new and prestigious supporters. They don't have a broader donor. These are all things that the Jazz for Peace Benefit Concert Series brings to an organization. Some of them, all of them are equally as good as money. Making an organization more publicized, bringing in new and prestigious supporters, growing their donor base. We did all this stuff for her. And I donated an instrument. I brought a giant saxophone and put it in the carry-on luggage and I gave it to the school and all that stuff. So we did all these. I had an incredible band. I had this band from, because LA has great musicians. You probably know that, you know, real great music. And these guys had played with a great trumpet player named Freddie Hubbard, who's like anyone who knows jazz will tell you, legendary trumpet player. He had lived it out in LA for a while. So there was these people that played on certain records. So I had this band of like Freddie Hubbard alumni band. We were smoking. It was great. It was unbelievable. But I was, when I came back, I was like, I flew all this way. Did I get her enough sponsors? Did we really help this woman? Did we blah, blah. And I was just having doubts and I was just a little bit, and then an email comes in maybe the next day. And oh boy, here comes the email. And I'm thinking it's going to be something like the thank you, a nice try. You know what I mean? Thank you for your efforts. Nice try. But I'm thinking, did I really make an impact? This letter wasn't about sponsors. This letter wasn't about her donor base. This letter wasn't about new procedures. This letter was about all those things. This funds raise. This letter was about her son. Mm-hmm. And how this event transformed a son that had previously been practically suicidal, but literally was that far down. And now he's further up than he ever was even before the whole thing started, because he has been transformed into the realization that there are people on this planet that will fly all the way across the country just for him and his issue and this, and to address him. And then of course he thinks I'm some big star naturally. He's a little kid. So he thinks I'm as big as anybody to him. I'm as big as the biggest star. It's all about how it transforms. So if I was going to say one thing that I learned that day, it was, hey, that's the most important thing of all. Don't take your eye off of, don't get into the weeds about 9 other things that are only to get to that result. You know what I mean? If you, the music, and I want to tell people that might want to get involved with Jazz for Peace in the future, The art form of jazz alone has the ability to transform people in profoundly positive ways, and there are historical things that show it. Ours on our website is the guy who started Brown versus the Board of Education. He was originally influenced by a jazz event where he saw Louis Armstrong at a dance and became fixated. That man was a genius. Anyway, you have that. Then you have the fact that we're doing it for, you know, you have all these reasons that are the opposite about what you're hearing in, about the music business today. This is the complete opposite. And it can transform people in profoundly positive ways. It brings spirituality, intellectuality, creativity, all these things that are in a famous quote of mine. If you ever Google Rick Delarada famous quote, you'll see something. Everything I say in that quote is in the art form of jazz. So that would have been, that was my big learning experience. I thought maybe I barely got a bunt single with this woman and I'd hit a grand slam home run without even knowing it. So that would be that. As far as what we're doing today, is trying to really get the word out about what we've learned by helping 850 of the world's most outstanding causes around the world. So we have ideas. We've just the same way that I learned, that I knew when 9/11 happened, that the art, that music could make a difference and could have be a big role. Now I've learned how we can solve many of our world's problems if someone cares to ask us, you know, if somebody wants to know, because we've helped so many outstanding causes, somebody wants to know, you know, what can we do for the wildlife and this plate or that? We have an answer, actually. We can tell you what we've learned. What are we going to do about technology taking away jobs, but doing it in a way that still makes the world even better and maybe impacts those people's lives that lost their jobs in a positive way? I'll answer it. We have phenomenal answers for these things. We have phenomenal answers for wars, for the Mideast crisis, mass. We have it for, what's it? Oh, for, we have answers for the problem of our trickle down economy, where unfortunately philanthropy and people that are doing really good deeds are getting the money last. We have a trickle up concept for philanthropy only that can coexist with our trickle down concept, but creates a situation where in philanthropy, where people can actually get the money first. And when they spend it into the economy, it trickles up. So this is where we're at now with solutions. How are we going to get people to at least take us serious enough to listen to these ideas we have? And then if they like them as much as good as they might be, at least if it's as good as my idea to heal the world with music was, maybe implement some of them.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. I am convinced that we could talk forever. This is absolutely insightful and wonderful. And those are not just words. I mean it from my inner being. There's a kind of a missionary zeal about your musical influence. And again, with this kind of a metaphysical overtone to it, that's just absolutely captivating. So I'm so happy we got the chance to meet and talk today. Rick, how can our listeners find you? And then please, if you wouldn't mind, a pitch for your book at the end here, sir.
Oh, wow. Thank you for reminding me. You are the best. A great way for people to find me, because what we grow is an empowerment tree, and everyone's so worried about funding and how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that. Ours starts with a simple comment. Someone sends us a comment, and that comment actually represents a seedling. And we then help them grow that seedling into roots. And then once we plant the roots, we have fulfilled the part of our motto that resonates with people, and that's help us plant the roots so we can grow your empowerment tree. So someone can send a comment to us at info@jazzforpeace.org. And like I said, as far as finding out about Jazz for Peace, I'm kind of crazy how many things. I would recommend this show, of course, is a great way to find out about us. But like I said, if you Google Rick Delarada famous quote, like I said earlier, that's a cool place to start out, because you'll see this famous quote and you can read all these other people's famous quotes. But it also just gets you moving with Jazz for Peace, the YouTube channel, the Vimeo has all these things, just so much stuff everywhere. But now this book is coming out, and this could be the number one place to find out about Jazz for Peace. The author's been doing an unbelievable job, and because of that, there's been some delay, but the delay has created a lot of interest. And it's called Paving the Path for Peace Through Music, the amazing story of Rick Delarada and Jazz for Peace. Like I said, tomorrow, I've been told, is their last day of editing, and they just wanted to make sure I was available for questions, this, that, and the other. But then at that point, it looks like we could be off to the races in the next few weeks with this book being available. You should be able to, like I said, look up Rick Delarada, Paving the Path for Peace Through Music, any of that kind of stuff, and find it Amazon and these other places.
That's fantastic. And I will put the links into the show links, into the video and the comments below and on Stitcher and on all of our audio recordings. We'll put them to your website. And if the book will probably be out by then, so we'll link that too. Rick, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so very much for being on Let's Talk About It, Conversations with Industry Shapers. You truly are an industry shaper, and I'm glad we had the chance to connect.
Oh, thank you so much, and likewise.
Hi again, Jeff Arnold here. Thank you so very much for listening to Let's Talk About It, Conversations with Industry Shapers. Listen, if you are a successful founder, visionary, entrepreneur, or know someone who is that would be a good fit for this program, please visit or have them visit podcast.jeffarnold.com. That's podcast.jeffarnold.com. Two more quick asks for you, please. If you got something out of this interview, please share it and tag us on social media. I love seeing posts and guest suggestions. And then as a quick reminder, we're always putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, I would say please go ahead and subscribe to us on all your favorite social media channels. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.